We're talking about faith and hope in trying times. Faith and hope in trying times. I hope we can all see the cup I'm holding. Yes. Now, you know, we look at a cup like this. This is a classic, you know, saying. Is the cup half full or is it half empty? Many of us, in the first impression we get when we see something like this, oh, it's an half empty cup. Some will say it's an half full cup. In the last few weeks, in the last so many weeks, increasingly, and thank God for doing that, let the corporate prayer pretty much hit the nail on the head on what I want to share about. Fear seems to have gripped so many. There's so many in despair. I mean, I've had quite a few people actually say that they've stopped listening to the news because every time they put on the news, it's just one message of discouragement, one message of despair, or something else. And that just seems to keep coming and coming. And one wonders, when is the next good news going to come from? When are we going to It's quite disconcerting. And for us as Christians, many of us, our prayers have been, you know, Lord, stem the tide of the coronavirus, you know, cause it to sink, protect us, have mercy, have compassion. Are we seeing the opportunities that the Lord is bringing our way? Are we holding on to the hope that we have? You know, more than ever before, we need to exercise faith and hope. More than ever before, we need to demonstrate our hope. And you know what's the great thing about hope? Hope never disappoints. Hope doesn't disappoint. Why doesn't hope disappoint? Because God is our hope, and the love of God is in our hearts. Can we just read from Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. I read from verses 1 to 5. Romans 5, 1 to 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, we glory in challenges, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise the Lord. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We need to hold on to faith. We need to hold on to hope because the hope we have will not disappoint us. It will help us to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know, today is actually Palm Sunday. And it's so easy to forget the fact that in the midst of it all, it's so easy to forget the fact that Easter is just around the corner. Today marks the beginning of the Holy Week. And when you think about it, this is pretty much the beginning of the last 7 days or so of the life of Jesus Christ. So I kind of see the times we're in as resonating with the times of Jesus more than ever before. The next week or so in the Christian calendar starts with despair and ends with hope. Praise the Lord. The turbulence, the trying times we're facing at this point in time, who would have thought that we could be having Palm Sunday and we're all sitting in our houses without choice? Who would have thought? Definitely, I mean, as it is, there's nothing impossible for God. But the likelihood is that next week, Sunday, we're still going to be meeting virtually. Now, in my lifetime, I don't think this has ever happened. And I'm sure pretty much for every one of us, you know, listening to my voice now, in our lifetimes, we've not had a period like this, an Easter period, when no one could go out, when no one could engage with others, when we're all sitting in our houses. But should we see an half-empty cup, or do we see the half-full cup? Do we see the hope that could come, the opportunities that could come out of this period? What Christ did over 2,000 years ago, is that hope? Is it keeping us going? You know, Palm Sunday pretty much marks, you know, what we call the triumphant entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21? We'll just read from, you know, the first 9 verses. Matthew chapter 21 from the first 9 verses. It says, "Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And verse 8 says, "And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You know, in that passage we just read, there are 2 things that stand out for us. Why would Jesus have requested that the disciples go get a donkey for him to ride in? Why a donkey? Why? It says the donkey and the foal of a donkey. And we ask ourselves, you know, a donkey is not a majestic beast. But I believe even in that itself, it speaks of the humility of Christ. A king coming on a donkey. You know, that first instance itself is a fulfillment of prophecy that the Messiah will come. And that's what verse, you know, 4 says. It says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the prophet," I believe it was Zechariah, that, you know, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey." Humble and sitting on a donkey, but he is the coming king. And when Jesus Christ did that, he was establishing that, yes, he is Christ the Messiah. He was making known to the people that the prophecy that has been said about the Messiah coming is being fulfilled. And surely because he came the first time round, we trust and we hope and we know that he's coming again. He's coming back again. It could be any time from now. It could be right now. It could be in years to come. We don't know. But we have an assurance that because he came and he said that if he goes up to the Father, he will come back. So we are expecting him back. Praise the Lord. We're expecting him back. Are you ready? Are you prepared? A song just flashed in my mind. I'm sure we all know that song that says, Christ is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? When he rode into Jerusalem, people were rejoicing. And what were they doing? They were shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. What does Hosanna mean? Hosanna means, oh, save. A recognition that a savior was coming. Someone to deliver, a deliverer was coming. And even in the times we're in, we can call to God and say, Lord, Hosanna, save, deliver. And we have a hope that he will do that. Praise the Lord. He's a God that is able to save to the uttermost. He's the one that is able to deliver that which is committed to him. He's one that is able to keep that which is committed to him. The people demonstrated, you know, there was that glimmer of hope. A glimmer of hope at the point in time when Jesus, you know, was entering Jerusalem. At that period, the Romans were governing the land. A lot of Jews felt that, you know, it was a period of tyranny. They were being oppressed. Things were not going the way they wanted. But here is a man, a prophet that they've been hearing so much about, coming on a donkey's colt, like the prophecies that said. He gave them hope. And they were all shouting, Hosanna, 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 trusting God for a turnaround. I mean, interestingly and possibly sadly, I can only imagine that some of the people that were shouting Hosanna at that point in time might have been the same people that were shouting, crucifying some 7 days later or some 5 days later. And what does that say to me? You know, human nature, human beings, we can be fickle at times, swayed left, right, and center. As Christians, that is not our portion. We need to be firmly grounded. We need to stand firmly, even on Christ the solid rock. We need to keep faith. We need to stand firm in faith and not waver. But if we think about those in the world, does this offer us an opportunity? I believe so. Because the same people that do not know Christ, the same people that are hacking down Christians, that are saying, you know, we shouldn't have a voice, are the same people that the Lord, you know, can reach out to at this point in time, are the same people that are seeking or that are looking for someone to talk to, that are, you know, asking Christians to pray for them. You'll be surprised at how receptive people are at this point in time, how receptive they will be to, you know, to hear a word of hope, to hear a word of encouragement. You'll be surprised at how much people would want even someone to give a word of reassurance. Now my mind goes back to, you know, the story in Acts when Paul was traveling and the storms was raging and everybody was fearful. I know Paul got up and said that, you know what, folks, no one is going to die from this, but the Lord has revealed to me that, you know, no life will be lost. Are we as Christians giving that reassurance? Are we sharing the hope we have? Amen. Faith and hope in, you know, in trying times. We are in trying times. Are we exercising our faith? Are we exercising our hope? The interesting thing is that faith and hope, they work hand in hand. The two go together. You cannot divorce one from the other. Now, how do I see faith? I look at faith and say that faith is pretty much the belief that, you know, doesn't rest on logical proof. So it's beyond, it's not, we can't rationalize faith. We can't rationalize why we believe God is able to do all things. We can't rationalize why we believe God is able to move mountains. It goes beyond material evidence. It's not about us, you know, making a proof. That is what we believe. That is our belief system. And that is who we are. And that is what keeps us going. But then you think about hope. I look at hope as a feeling of and desire of expectation. What are we hopeful for? What are we trusting for? More often than not, when you think about hope, it is in relation to a future occurrence, a future event, something that is to come, hence the expectation, hence the desire. So even though the weeping tarries through the night, the hope is that joy is coming in the morning. Even though there might be challenging times, the hope is that, you know, the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, will cause his peace to reign. Praise the Lord. What is your hope? What hope are you clinging on to? What hope are you clinging on to? Are you exercising your faith at this point in time? Are you exercising your faith? Are you believing in God? Are you trusting in him to make a way where there seems to be no way? We need to examine ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? As children of God, are we getting caught up? And honestly, I believe it's a frenzy, if I may use that word. Are we getting caught up in that frenzy, in that atmosphere of, you know? I went out on Tuesday to go do some shopping. And honestly, I think pretty much similar to what Doyin was saying. It's, you know, you have to ask yourself how, if we allow fear to dominate, it will just grip us and we wouldn't be able to do anything. We cannot allow fear to rule, to govern, to determine what we do, how we act, even at this point in time. We have to trust God. We have to keep hoping. We have to keep the faith. We have to hold on to God, his word, not what people are saying. I mean, the other day I was checking the statistics. Many of us, we talk more about the deaths that are going on right now, the people that are dying. Oh, another 500 people have been pronounced dead. Another 200 people have been pronounced dead. But is that the glass being half empty? Are we thinking that the glass being half empty, people are dying, reducing? Are we thinking, hang on, people are getting these symptoms, they're being diagnosed as having COVID-19, and many people are recovering. Are we thanking God for those that are recovering? Are we thanking God? Yes, some people are dying. Medical practitioners are dying. Are we thanking God for those that are still, you know, they're caring for these people and God has been keeping them? What is our focus? Is our focus on the thousands that have died? Is our focus on the hundreds of thousands that God is keeping, that have recovered? Is our focus on the fact that, you know, even this time too will pass and we will all come out at the end of it rejoicing? That should be our focus. That should be our hope. That should be our faith. That the Lord that has, you know, started with us even from the beginning of the time, from December when they first found coronavirus, he's still the same God. He hasn't changed. He's still the same one on the throne. There is nothing too difficult for God to do. If God says today, come, as in coronavirus, it all came about in one day. If God says today will be the end of it, he is God. Let's just trust him. Let's just believe in him. Let's just continue to hope on him that he will do what only he can do. I know that sometimes it can be difficult. I know it can be difficult. I believe it's Proverbs 13:12 that says that, you know, when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But it says that, you know, with desire, when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So the thing we're desirous of, the things we're trusting for, when they happen, you know, it brings refreshing. My prayer is that each and every one of us will be refreshed in Jesus' name. Those things we're trusting God for, those things we're hoping for, we'll see a realization. Our hope will not be deferred. It will not tarry. It will not be delayed in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that, you know, as we're praying, and it's not just in the UK, it's all over. Asia, Africa, Europe, Americas, it's all over. There are concerns. Many are concerned. But it is a time more than ever before for us as children of God, for us as Christians, to stand up, to stand boldly for our faith. It is a time I believe strongly that, you know, we're looking towards the dawn of a new era, the dawn of a new day for Christians and for Christianity. I'm not sure whether this phrase, whether it's actually true, but you know, there's a saying that it's darkest. It's always darkest before dawn. I'm sure some scientists might say that's not truly the case. But you know, with every night, day will come. With every night, day will come. So even if we feel that this is a night season, we know for a fact, we have an assurance that the day season is coming. Why? Because we have a God that is with us. We have a God whose love has been shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have a God that is helping us to keep keeping up. Let us seize the opportunities. Let us seize the moment. My wife was sharing with me during the week about the uptake of virtual media. And I believe even from the Zoom we're using now, their numbers, I think maybe subscriber numbers, has gone from 10 million to over 200 million. Imagine the opportunity for outreach. Imagine the opportunity. People don't have excuses. We're all at home. We're all at home. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to do any business. Imagine the opportunities to you know, spread the word, to minister to someone, to invite them to church. It's a virtual church. Let them attend. Imagine the opportunities to make a difference in the life of someone. They see that you can sow. Think about that woman, the psyche ministry. She went out and said, come and see, come and see, come and hear. Someone who can make a change. She introduced people to Christ. The Bible said some of them believed because of what she said. But many more believed because when they came and met with Christ, they heard Christ for themselves and it made a difference in their lives. Many of us, we have so many followers on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, the works. What are we sharing with them now? Because we're all spending more time on all these social media platforms and technology platforms. What are we sharing with people? Are we sharing the message of hope? Or are we reinforcing what the general news is saying? Death and despair. We have a choice to make as children of God. We can make a choice. What is the choice we're making? To share hope, to let people know that in spite of it all, there is a God that is able to save and that does save to the uttermost. That is the message I have for us this afternoon. It's afternoon now. I just want us to take a moment and just say a word of prayer for ourselves. You know, just pray. What position do you find yourself at this moment? Are you holding on to the faith Are you holding on to the hope you have in Christ Jesus? Or is your faith wavering? Are you losing hope? Are you despairing? Let's just examine ourselves this morning. Is the news we've been hearing, is everything we've been hearing about, is it making us fearful? Has it gotten us into a position where we've pretty much withdrawn into a shell? Or are we, the Bible says the righteous, they are bold as lions. Are we standing as lions that are bold? To know that, come what may, we have a God that is greater than everything around, that is greater than all that is going on. And are we holding on to that God? Shall we pray? Everlasting Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. For each and every one under the sound of my voice, Father, I pray, Lord, that wherever faith and hope has been diminishing, Spirit of God, I pray for a restoration. Your word says that there's no fear in love, that perfect love casts out all fear. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the love of God, which is shed abroad in us. I thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son, for the love which he had that made him decide to give his life for the ransom of our souls. I pray, Father, this afternoon that love will cause a reigniting of hope in every life in the mighty name of Jesus. That where there is despair, Lord, you will cause hope to arise. Where the hope is failing, we pray for a renewal in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust you, O God, that you're faithful, that have begun with us, and you will see us through. We thank you, Father, because through this period, O Lord, we trust and we know, and we declare that many will turn back to you. All those that are strayed, Lord, you will use this time to draw them back to you. All those that are uncertain, you use this time to draw them back to you. We that are even in your presence, you use this period to strengthen our walk, our faith, our hope in you, to make us more rounded, that our hope truly will be built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Lord, continue to be our righteousness, that will not put our trust in any other thing, but that will indeed only lean on Jesus Christ as our strength, as our rock, as our foundation. We give you all the praise, Heavenly Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.